Welcome to The Ripcord Moment, a podcast focused on empowering owners to achieve their perfect landing, their perfect exit. For most owners, the majority of their net worth is tied up in their business. Yet many owners struggle to create a plan that maximizes the value of their business with their personal goals and personal financial plan. Joe Cetu is the host of The Ripcord Moment. He is a partner and senior VP with Morton Capital, an independent wealth management firm responsible for $2 billion in assets. As a trusted advisor for over 20 years, he guides owners through the exit planning process by leveraging his unique skill set as a chartered financial analyst, certified financial planner, and certified exit planning advisor. Now here's Joe with The Ripcord Moment.
Business owners are today's American heroes. They innovate. They create jobs. They believe they can create a better future for their families and our country. So much attention is given to the start of the business, the idea, the technology, the fundraising, yet much less to the exit, as if it will magically take care of itself. When they do go to exit the business, it's a once-in-a-lifetime event. There is no do-over. Yet we see so many owners are ill-prepared to make this jump. This podcast is focused on learning from those entrepreneurs and team of advisors who have made the jump and sharing their best ideas with you. So when you're ready for your ripcord moment, you can execute and hit your perfect landing. Welcome to the Ripcord Moment. I'm your host, Joe Cetu. Today, we're joined by Chris Passmore, managing partner of Martini Partners, a Los Angeles-based accounting firm. Chris has extensive experience in advising middle market companies, 401k plans, professional service firms, technology companies, and franchisors. Additionally, he has a special designation for 401k audit. In addition to being a great family man, he's also passionate about mountain biking. Chris, welcome to the Ripcord Moment. I'm excited for our discussion today.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate being on the show and being a part of the Ripcord Moment.
Well, let's dive in here. As someone in your profession, in your industry, talk to us. You've gone through a generation one to generation two transfer or succession plan, and you're leading now the generation two through this transition. How many firms make it to the second generation in the accounting world?
In my world, that statistic is shockingly low. Only one out of five firms actually make it from the first generation to the second, third, or fourth.
Wow. What has allowed for the success of Martini Partners to do this?
I'd say a large part of that success is attributable to the founding partners and the vision they had and the fact that they started planning for succession 10 years ago. It's such a large and significant event in a business's lifestyle or life that it requires planning for the future leaders. It requires a viable buy, sell, or partnership agreement. And frankly, it requires a change of mentality and culture to allow that succession to happen. So we were blessed with a group of founding partners who all planned for this years in advance and have allowed us to identify the next leaders and to move forward with a plan that works not only for them, but for future leaders.
So walk me through a little bit of this, because it sounds, you know, in talking to many professionals and even owners, they don't tend to think 10 years in advance for the planning. So was this something that was readily transparent maybe to you, to some of the other leaders in the second generation, or was this predominantly contained, at least in the early days, to more of the original owners, if you will? And what did that look like?
I think it first starts with identifying who the future leaders were. And as I've been with the firm now for 15 years, it was pretty clear that they were dedicated to identifying who would take over, who would be the next generation, the younger people to succeed. So that to me was obvious to the senior leadership of the firm. And that included the partners, the senior managers, and the managers in looking for opportunities for those people to step up and to fill that leadership role. So to me, it was transparent at the leadership that they were dedicated to creating opportunities for new people who wanted to be a part of that future.
Got it. Okay. And In terms of beyond just identifying the opportunities and bringing, you know, bringing the next generation along, were there other things maybe from a culture standpoint or a systems standpoint that you concentrate on at Martini Partners to make the transition smoother, easier? Talk to us maybe a little bit about how it influences your, maybe your overall business strategy.
Well, I think first thing is culturally, anytime you have a transition of leadership from the first person to the second person, there's a shock. There is a reaction by the entire team of this is different. This is not what I'm used to. And so it takes a real investment by the first generation for the founding group to give the second generation people opportunities to lead, opportunities to speak to the team, opportunities to put their stamp on how things are done. So I think that is a significant thing that is often overlooked. You often think about the economics, you think about the buy-sell agreement, who's going to take over, but you forget about the cultural side. And having those future leaders be a part of the actual day-to-day operations of the firm is something that needs to be addressed. And that's one of the things that, in addition to identifying who the future leaders were going to be of my firm, it was giving those people the opportunity to take on responsibilities that may have been done by the first generation, them handing over a responsibility so someone else can take that, put their mark on it, get a chance to demonstrate to the team that they're the ones who are going to be leading for the next 20 years.
Let's dive a little bit deeper on this because I want to see if you can help me understand and for our audience to understand, because it sounds great, sort of, you know, intuitively it makes sense, right? But, it, you know, especially in for many owners and even in the professional service world that both you and I live in, this idea of relinquishing control or like we have the technical expertise and we do it a certain way with our clients, the idea of releasing this or turning it over to others, the next generation, isn't always the easiest thing for people to do. So how were you able to overcome some of those sort of maybe natural hurdles?
Well, I agree. I think intuitively it makes sense, but I can tell you as someone who's been through it, it's incredibly difficult. I underestimated how difficult that change would be. And having gone through it, I realize how important it is. So the hurdles to me come down to a mindset. In my world, there's a very common concept of mandatory retirement. And it's the concept that typically at around age 65, you have to relinquish your control and let the next generation lead. So what I think makes sense is a slight tweak on that, the mindset of mandatory succession. And so the mentality and what I think helps for the senior leadership of any company to adopt is mandatory succession, knowing that this has to be a part of the long-term viability of a company and that the company itself is more than just the identity of the founding partners. I think that's where this also becomes a very emotional experience. You need to begin identifying the company as its own standalone identity, not just a company that is just a reflection of you personally. So again, it comes back to that mindset change of mandatory succession to me helps overcome those hurdles because then it's not an option. It's not something you do when you have time because as any business owner knows, there's never enough time in the day. Just operating the company is enough to keep 10 hours of every 8-hour day. So adopting that mandatory succession mindset makes you realize that this has to be a part of your strategic plan. There has to be a goal this year that you have to implement for a succession or an exit 5 and 10 years down the road. So to me, it all starts with mindset. Mindset will help you overcome those hurdles because once you have the strategy, the mandatory succession strategy, then you can work on the tactics and then you can start setting specific actionable items that you need to do to successfully exit or to succeed on your company.
Yeah, I love this idea of mindset. Can you talk us through, because like, it, you know, it's a buzzword. We talk a lot about it in, whether it's in business, succession planning, mountain biking, whatever you want to talk about it, right? Having the right mindset, I think, is critical for anything in life, any sort of success. Getting people's buy-in from a cultural standpoint can be more challenging, as we know. So were there certain things that you your partners did to help with that mindset shift?
I think what helped is that the idea of succession planning was widely adopted. So it wasn't just one out of three people saying this was important to us. This was an agreement by all of the senior leadership that this was a commitment for all of them, and they would all support that. And to me, you have buy-in across the senior leadership, but then you have to have a leader. You have to have someone who really takes this and executes. And for me, it was one of my mentors, a gentleman named Don Yosue. He set the tone in the leadership in identifying me as his successor and systematically moving his responsibilities to me and demonstrating to the team and to his partners that this is the model you have to follow. This is what can work and it will work. So to me, it's about the strategy and then having a leader to make sure that happens.
Got it. Okay. Let's pivot and maybe you can take sort of your pearls of wisdom and apply it to some of the clients you work with, other owners at large. So where I'm going with this is, Chris, what are some of the other common challenges that you see with business owners regarding succession planning in general?
One common challenge, and I'd actually say this is one of the most significant common challenge, is just identifying those future leaders. You might think you'll exit your company in 3 years, but finding the future leaders could take 5 to 10 years. Because
5 to 10 years. Let's talk about that.
Well, yeah, because it's not only bringing someone on who's got the right talent and the skill set, they then have to come into the business. They have to understand how you do it. You then have to migrate them to a leadership of your team. So there has to be a connection with the team members, a comfort with that team member. And that is, I would attribute that almost like a marriage. You have to date for a period of time to make sure that this is the right fit. So that's not, in my opinion, something you can do in 12 to 24 months. And so identifying those second generation and third generation leaders years before an exit will allow you to be successful. I can tell you, us as a firm, it took us a decade to find the entire group of second generation leaders, because oftentimes it's not one person, it's two people, three people. If you think about a business, it could be more than one person. It could be the CEO, it could be the CFO, it could be your chief operating officer. So you have to find three people or more to become the next group of senior leadership. And that takes time.
Yeah, definitely. No, I like what you said there about it. It sounds like it takes time for, and not only to identify them, but for the team to them to grow into their own respective roles and feel comfortable with it, but also then to coalesce as a team and as a unit as well. So that's a very important point, Chris. Let's go ahead and we're going to pause just for a brief moment. We're going to take a break to get a word in from our sponsor.
As a part of our commitment to empowering business owners, we've partnered with sponsors that make this podcast possible. We've asked them to share a little bit about their Ripcord moment and how they're helping owners hit their perfect landing.
Morton Capital is a wealth advisory firm with the goal of helping families get the most life out of their wealth. We believe the most successful clients are those that have identified what is most important: family, travel, financial freedom, or protecting their nest egg. We then build a strategy that results in them spending more time doing the things they love. This is also our goal for our firm and our team. We are business owners ourselves and have experienced the ripcord moment twice, once in 2006 and then again in 2013. The first landing ended up a little too bureaucratic, with a lack of flexibility in how we ran our business and served our clients. The second transaction was much more successful because we focused on the things we valued: independence, opportunity, control, and the ability to run a business where people truly love coming to work. Our team today is stronger than ever, and our people are empowered to build strategic, innovative, and thoughtful plans that allow our clients to get more life out of their wealth.
And we're back at the Ripcord Moment with Chris Passmore, managing partner of Martini Partners. Chris, great conversation. A lot of great pearls of wisdom and insights you're sharing with us. So I want to talk a little bit more about your succession in terms of from the founding generation now to this second generation here. And what would you say is one thing, one or two things that really surprised you during this process?
One of the most surprising things that I dealt with was the concept of exit planning and doing it in a successful way is that it's more than just a business transaction. It's an emotional transaction. It's emotional for the people who are succeeding their leadership to the next group. It's emotional for the team to now have someone new in charge. So to ignore the emotional side is only half of the key to success. To me, that was very surprising how significant of a life event that is for all the people involved. And it requires a lot of attention and a concerted effort to make sure that the emotional side is addressed and everyone comes together around the next group.
So let's talk like what are some of those emotions that come up?
Well, I think fear, the fear in the staff members and the team of who is this new person? They're doing things differently. I'm not used to this. Will this succeed? And do they have confidence in the next generation of leadership? So I think fear is significant.
So Chris, real quick to clarify. So you're saying not just the fear of the owners who are exiting and selling, but you're saying the entire staff and firm as well?
Oh, absolutely. I can tell you firsthand that when I took over as managing partner, the feedback that I would receive of can this new person do it? And keep in mind, I was with the firm for 10 years before I took over as managing partner. So these are people I've known for 10 years, but because it's such a significant event in a business and to have new senior leadership is a impactful event from all the way from the top to the bottom. Because no matter what, the person who takes over is not a carbon copy of the person who was there before. So there's going to be a difference of management style. There's going to be a difference of personality. And so it is a scary moment for everyone to adopt to the new way and figure out the future of the firm.
Right. It's this whole idea, right? I think we as humans are hardwired not to like change, right? Almost irrespective of this. And this is big change we're talking about here. So, all right, I get it. Thanks. Fears one. What else would you say sort of came up during your, what other emotions were you dealing with and seeing, not only in yourself, but your colleagues and teammates?
I would say talking about the leaders who are retiring or who are exiting, I'd almost say, I don't want to say regret because that's not quite the right description, but just the feeling of my whole identity has been as a business owner. So my personal value comes from the success of my company. What is going to be like after I retire? Where am I going to measure my personal value? So it gets back to that emotional side of the transaction of helping the first generation talk about what are they going to do next? Are they going to be charitable? Are they going to be entrepreneurial? Are they going to play golf 5 days a week? So helping them with that part of their discovery process of what's next, because if it's sitting in front of a TV watching Netflix, it's probably going to be a challenging time for them.
I got to tell you, 5 days a week of golf sounds like torture to me right now because I'm not a particularly great golfer, although for some, maybe that's a dream come true. But you're 100% right, Chris. And like, I went through the exit planning designation and we always talk about the three legs of the stool, right? You've got the business aspect, which is obviously front and center. For many owners, the financial component is critical to a secure retirement. But then the third is their personal goals, their personal identity, which so oftentimes I think because it is more of a soft, qualitative, not quantitative aspect, it's underlooked and under, I think, addressed for most owners, but yet is so critical because you're right. When at the end of the day, this comes down to identity. And if owners haven't had a chance to think through how they will reconstruct their identity when they're no longer a quote unquote owner, it could upend the entire process. They may not even be able to go forward with the transaction as well. So I think you touched on a really critical point. Thanks. Maybe we could pivot a little bit here to talk to us a little bit about what you've learned so far through this process and how you, what changes, you know, you will make for, call it, the third generation and fourth generation of the firm.
I'd say the first thing I have done is make sure that I've got a solid and economically viable buy-sell agreement or partnership agreement. Mm-hmm. And that can be beneficial to the people who are exiting and to the future leaders. So that's step one. Make sure that whatever vehicle of buyout you have in place, it is successful for the exiting people and the business itself. The buy, sell, or the partnership agreement can't be so burdensome that it acts as an anchor for the company. So that's step one.
We need to just real quick on there. Can you give me just a little bit more when you say burdensome? Give us some color on what specifically you mean by that.
So as an example, in my industry of a CPA firm, it's common to have the amount of the buyout paid each year to be limited to a percentage of income. And the intent there is that whatever the buyout amount is that the successor leaders have to pay, it won't be detrimental to the overall success of the company. And in my world, that's limited by a percentage of income.
Got it. Okay, thank you. I appreciate the clarity there.
And the second thing that I would say that I'm doing with my third and fourth generation leaders is the first thing you do is say, congratulations, you're now a senior leader of the company. You've done a great job. The next thing I say is, so who's the next generation? Who will be your successor? So I plant that seed in all of my young leaders the minute they become a leader, because it takes that long and they have to figure out who in their team they're going to mentor and to develop. Or alternatively, they look around and say, I don't have someone. I need to find someone who will be my successor down the road. So that's the mindset of mandatory succession that I try to put into every person from day one.
I love that. And I think that probably a lot of, so it sounds like you've managed to thread together this idea of making the mandatory retirement, the succession planning aspect, part of your overall business strategy, sort of from day one, and make it just part of who the DNA of your company, so that it's not just left to the end, like we see with so many owners. That's great, Chris. Let's pivot here to, I always like to get, you know, we call this the ripcord moment, so that we help owners get ready for their jump when they are looking at that succession plan, their exiting plan. And what are the actionable items that our guests can give to the audience members? And so give us two action items, Chris, that you would say any owner should think about doing sooner rather than later.
So the first action item I have for your listeners is establish the terms of your buy, sell, or your partnership agreement now before you're actually planning for an exit. And I say that because the exit is such an emotional and significant experience. It's best to have the discussions on the economics, the post-succession consulting agreement, all of that stuff before emotions get involved. And that's why if you have that in place years before the actual event, it will only help you, because then everyone's bought on to the strategy and the plan, and it'll make that ultimate succession easier. And the second action item I have for your listeners goes back to my whole point about the next generation of leaders and how long it takes to develop those. Start developing the next leaders of your company yesterday. And if you're 3 years away, start as soon as you listen to this podcast and think about who can be the future leaders, because the amount of time it takes to develop these folks is longer than you may be giving it credit for.
Got it. Those are excellent takeaways, Chris. So if our audience wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way they can reach out to you?
So you can find me on all social media platforms. That is LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram. But you can also find me on my website, socialmediacpa.com. And anyone can reach out to me there with questions or other accounting, tax, or financial needs.
Chris, thank you for taking the time. All the pearls of wisdom you shared were excellent. Hopefully our audience gets a lot from it. I want to thank you for being with us today, taking time out of your busy schedule, especially during tax season. I'm grateful for that.
Thank you for listening to the Ripcord Moment. If you'd like to connect, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn or on email at jc2@mortoncapital.com. The information presented is for discussion and illustrative purposes only. The views and opinions expressed by the speakers are as of the date of the recording and subject to change. These views should not be relied on for financial, tax, or legal advice. You should consult with your attorney, financial professional, or accountant before implementing any strategies or transactions concerning your finances. Morton Capital is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Assets under management data is as of 12/31/2019. The views expressed herein should not be relied on as investment advice and are not intended as a recommendation to buy or sell any type of security. There's risk of loss investing in securities, including loss of principal. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.